Oh, it's going to be a good day today. It's our year-end service, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I wonder, like with these Sundays, like, what is there something special we're supposed to be doing? Is there something that God has that, like, yeah, okay, that was really good, Darren, you know, like hit it out of the park? And sometimes I feel like I don't know what God wants. Do you ever feel like that? Not sure. Maybe with your job or your career, maybe relationships in your life, you're not sure. And so I was spending some time praying. Like, I'm fortunate Gary gives me like a month notice, kind of like, hey, Darren, you're on the docket, you're coming up. And I'm like, okay. And so I just remember praying in the weeks leading up, and I'm just like, hey, God, what do you have? And I just felt like he was just saying, you know what, my mercies are new. And I was like, okay. I mean, do you believe that? Do I believe it? Like, that every morning God's mercies are new? Like, I've gone through struggles and like with sin, or even just in conflict in my life at different times. And honestly, I really believe that promise that God's mercies or his compassion is fresh and new every morning. It resonates in me. And it's something that I hold on to in those times when it's hard. I remember one time in my life. This is when I was like in my college year, so 20 years old, and my grandfather was diagnosed with cancer. And my grandfather, he's a kind guy. He's a really really strong family guy. But he struggled with addictions, with alcohol, and I just always remember growing up, you know, praying for him that he would come to know Jesus. And I remember asking my parents, like, hey, what's grandpa's story? Like, what's, because grandma knew about Jesus, but why doesn't grandpa? Maybe you've had those conversations with your kids, right? And you're kind of like, well, it's not that easy, you know, or like, you're like, and you're always like, don't ask them in front of us, right? Like, or something like that. And I remember my mom telling me my grandpa's story was one where he did have faith. And then when he kind of entered in that busy, stressful stage of young kids and family, and he came to a point where he would go to church on Sunday, and then he would leave church, and in the week he'd see everyone. And he'd see how he was living and how they were living. And then we'd show up at church on Sunday, and they'd sit there. And he felt like there was two different things going on, two different lifestyles. And Sunday morning wasn't matching the rest of the week. And he just got tired of just being a hypocrite or seeing hypocrisy or something like that. And this is how my mom shared it to me. And so he was just like, I'm not going to go anymore. I'm just tired of that. And he just sort of led his own life. And I remember when he got diagnosed with cancer, and so being like 19 years old and knowing this about my grandpa, and man, my heart, it broke. And I just remember daily coming before the Father and just saying, God, can you sustain grandpa just another day so that someone could run into him, that he could experience you, Jesus, in a fresh way, that he would understand you in a new way, that man, just give him more time. Have you ever had those moments in your life? Maybe it's just something personally in your own life going on. And this morning I wanted to take a moment to give us space to think about that, to reflect, to be reminded that every time the sun comes up, it can remind us that God is still here. That he has something for me, for us, to face a new day with him. For the kids, I know kids are in here. Emery, can you give me a hand, bud? We're going to hand out some crayons and paper. Daniel, can you help? Do you mind helping? Thank you. Can you hand out, go around, just if there's someone who needs some paper. Emery, you hand some crayons, just go around. Anyone can draw. If you feel like you want to draw, that's going to help you. There's. I don't have enough papers for everyone, Daniel. But I don't have enough papers for everyone. I'm sorry. Focus on the kids first. Thanks, buddy. But if you get a piece of paper and you want to draw during the service, here's your homework or what I want you to think of. Well, what's something that makes you sad? Is there something that makes you sad? Maybe draw a picture of it. Or maybe there's a time that you felt like you were sad. And then also, if you want to flip the paper over and draw on the other side, what's something that makes you happy? Okay? Is there something that makes you happy, or maybe it was a moment? And so I'm just asking you to draw something that makes you sad, something that makes you happy. Does that make sense? I saw a nod over there. Okay. So when I was praying and asking God, okay, like this idea of like his compassion and his mercy are new every morning, I was like, oh, where is that a verse or is that just a card that you read sometimes, right? Like, do you ever have those moments? Okay. And I looked it up and it took me to Lamentations. And I haven't really spent a lot of time in Lamentations until this like past 2 weeks. And I was struck with a few things. And I would love to go through Lamentations with all of you, like just in slow detail. I think there's a lot here that could really speak to us, into our world that we live, to struggles that we have, to things that we see. I think it can really speak to us. But I want to just stop on a little bit of it. And it's just the passage that I've been referring to. But there's a bit of a backstory to Lamentations. We're not 100% sure who wrote Lamentations. We're thinking it's Jeremiah, just because of his timeline lines up with this. And it's during the time of, written after the destruction of Jerusalem. Okay, so Israel is sort of wiped off. They had lots of warnings leading up to this point through the prophets, right? And Babylon rolls in, and God allows Babylon to take over Jerusalem and conquer it. And the good people, the people with skills and talents, are exported out. Now, if you follow this, okay, so we got like sort of this much of the Bible before Lamentations, right? A big chunk of it. There's some stuff that happens that kind of makes Jerusalem pretty critical, okay? One, if we start at the beginning, kind of like with Abraham, God makes a promise to Abraham. He's like, hey, Abraham, I want you to come follow me. I'm going to give you land. I'm going to give you a place where your descendants are going to grow and they're going to become a nation. And Jerusalem was the capital of that. And King David conquered Jerusalem and made it the capital. And so Jerusalem became sort of the center of this promise that they're going to have land. So this is significant for the Israel people. Okay? And the other thing too is, in Jerusalem, there's a temple. And the temple is like the center of their worship of the one true God. Okay? And Lamentation is written after that city had a massive army all around it. And no one could go in, no one could go out. And they kind of just waited till they just starved to death, basically. And then the army came in and they wanted to be conquered at that point. And it's written from this heart of anguish and grief, of watching this, of wrestling with God. Where, how can this happen? This is awful. We don't have our city anymore. We don't have the temple anymore. We don't have our nation anymore. How can we exist? Have you ever wrestled with something like that? One of the things I don't think I knew about Lamentations until like a week ago is that the style in which it's written. There's five chapters, okay? Chapters 1, 2, 4, and 5 all have 22 verses. And chapter 3 in the middle has 66 verses. Now, something happens here that in the author of the book does in Hebrew is that they use an acrostic, okay? So they take the first letter of the alphabet and they write a sentence, right? And there's 22 letters in the alphabet. And they do one for every letter and they go right through in order, okay? So for chapters 1, 2, and 4, they do this. In chapter 3, they do the same thing, except they do it 3 times for each letter, okay? And I think it's this beautiful thing because it's like poetry. It's like art, right? Now, some of you will appreciate poetry more than others. I kind of like it when it rhymes nice and it's like, oh yeah, that's cool. I get it. It's poetry, right? And then there's some poems where like Shauna will read something and I'm just like, I don't understand what that means, you know? Okay, so if you're one of those people, that's okay. But I think of like the author writing this, okay? And he's got this grief in his heart for the things that he's witnessed, for his love of the Father. And he's wrestling with this, and he's sitting down, and he's writing it down, and he comes up with this pattern. Now, I remember being in grade school, and they'd be like, okay, I want you to write a limerick, Darren, you know, and you're kind of like, I don't even know what that is, you know, like, and you try to get the rhyming thing, you're trying to get the words, and you use words wrong, and you're like, what rhymes with orange, and nothing comes, you know, like all these things you're wrestling with. And so I think of the author writing this book, and he's sitting there, and he's taking the time to do this in a beautiful way. He's taking time to put structure to his thoughts and his ideas, to his grief. It's not just random. In chapter 5, the pattern breaks, but there's still 22 verses. And the kind of thinking is, it's like a picture of just, the anguish is too great, and it's just like, I just got to let it out now. And in the middle of this all, and you have these 2 chapters of just this grief, and like, man, there's bad stuff that they witnessed and that they saw going on. And in the middle, in chapter 3, not right in the middle, but we have these verses here nestled in. And it's like a gem. If you want to turn to chapter 3 in Lamentations, you can. Or you can just shut your eyes and listen to me. But I'm going to read verses 19 to 24. Maybe just before I do that, for the adults, I'm going to give you a moment to sort of reflect in a bit, okay? And an opportunity for you to try to remember, to reflect, and yeah, I'll get into that in a minute, but okay. Verse 19, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait on Him. One of the things that I appreciated about Lamentations, just spending time in it, and I see this. So, well, one of the themes that's kind of in Lamentations, it talks about how God has allowed this to happen to them. They didn't keep their end of the covenant up. They broke covenant with God, and God gave them opportunities to repent, to come back to Him, and so God allowed this army to conquer their city. And the author knows that, right? That God is in control. And he's saying, you know what? It's better to be under God's discipline, under God's wrath, because he has mercies that are new, that are going to take, like seeds that are going to grow hope up for them. One of the other things I appreciated about Lamentations was how it gives permission for grief. And I don't think our culture, I don't think we do grief well. We like grief to be quick, processed, go through the steps, and you're done. But grief isn't like that. Grief isn't the same for everyone. We don't process grief the same way. And the same events will actually affect us differently. If you're in a spot where you're experiencing grief and you feel like I'm just stuck here, my heart is broken and it's not getting better. First, I'd say I don't think nothing's wrong with you. Don't beat yourself up, but reach out for help. Maybe invite a friend into it. Maybe get someone new in. Maybe come see Pastor Gary or talk to me. I think grief sometimes is an invitation for community. The other thing I really appreciate about Lamentations, and that's for the ability to ask God questions. When I was younger, my questions were different than they are now. And I think that's a good thing. I think our questions change, and hopefully you find answers to your question. Again, an invitation for community. I don't think our questions are supposed to be an excuse for us just to give up and not find an answer. But actually, I think questions are an invitation to find the Father. Again, back to sort of this poetry structure that exists in Lamentations. Now this is to even something that like Jerry touched on when he was sharing about how his role in Wycliffe is different, right? And he has like, this is my gift. This is what I can use. And I really believe art, I think of like poetry, I think of acting, I think of paintings, I think of creating things, of stories, songs, all these different kinds of forms of art are ways that we can worship God. And some of you have these things. And some of us feel like, hey, I just have my hands and this is all I can do. I think these are all ways that we can worship God when we develop our gifts, when we take time to get trained, to be equipped. We can come together and use it to worship God. Now, for everyone else, this is my little homework for you. I'm going to give us about 2 minutes, real minutes, okay, to reflect on your own life. Where have you seen God move or show up or answer prayer this last year? Or maybe what makes you sad or happy? Now, in the time that we have, if you happen to find an answer and you're like, yeah, this is how I saw God move this last year, or this is something that's been on my heart, write it down. And maybe write it down in a way that's like a poem or a prayer. Where you can say it and be reminded this next year that, you know what, God showed up this past year. And because I saw that, I know that He's going to show up again next year. So I'm going to play a song to help fill the quiet. And okay, thanks, buddy. Okay, thank you. Okay, so this is like your reflection time. And I know it might be uncomfortable for some of you, but I think it's good just to pause for a moment, okay? Father,
always amaze me. Let your kingdom come in my world and in my life. Give me the food I need to live through the day. And forgive me as I forgive the people that wrong me. Lead me far from temptation, deliver me from the evil one. I'll look out the window, the birds are composing. Not a note is out of tune or out of place. I walk to the meadow and stare at the flowers that are dressed than any girl on her wedding day. So why should I worry? Why do I freak out? God knows what I need. You know what I need. Your love is, your love is strong. Your love is, your love is strong.
So today is New Year's Eve, and tomorrow we're going to start a new year. And that can be exciting, but it's also just a start to a new day. A day in which there will be new mercies, new compassion available to you. So if you feel like you are lamenting or you're got something heavy on your heart, I hope that you see the sun shine through your window today and on those tough moments where it's difficult. I also pray for boldness for you to invite a friend in and to get wise counsel. I enjoy New Year's Eve, but sometimes I feel like it's a party for the wrong reasons. And if you think about it, this invitation for new mercies in the middle of our struggle, I mean, it makes me think of Jesus and what he's done for us on our behalf. Because I mean, really, when I feel like I have no hope or hope is lost, my hope is restored because of Jesus and what he did on the cross. In Hebrews chapter 4, there's this beautiful passage of just how Jesus is now our high priest. And how he... I'll just read it. I don't need to... Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I get it in the Old Testament. They're looking forward to the cross, and then like the disciples live through the season of Jesus, and then the church starts, and we're on this side of the cross, and we get to look back, and Some days I'm grateful for that. Some days I feel like no different than maybe those who were living before the cross, because I'm trying to do it on my own. But we have an opportunity to approach God's throne. And we don't have to go to Jerusalem to do that anymore. We have it in the quiet moments of in our bedroom, in a closet, around the table with family, sometimes in the car when you're driving, or maybe just in a moment at work when you need to just bow your head for a second. I want to pray for you and for myself and invite the worship team to come back. Let's pray. Father, I appreciate the challenge and the invitation that we can come before you, come before your throne with confidence because of your grace, because of your mercy. Not because we're special or we did something just the right way, but because of who you are. I pray for each of us that we wouldn't lose sight that you are at work and that you are in control. So those days when we sit down in front of the TV and see the news, or we see the news feed go up on our computer, you are sovereign and you are in control. Yeah, there's problems in our world. There's scary things happening, things that we can't believe sometimes. But you are in control. And Jesus, I believe that you are going to come back soon. And I just pray, Father, that the church would continue to grow, that we wouldn't grow tired or weary. That we keep our eyes focused on you, Jesus, and that we would follow you boldly when you invite us to, and we would do the things that you've asked us to do. And Father, I also just want to pray for more art. Pray for the gifts and talents that are just even represented in this room. Those with artistic abilities, I pray that they would just use them for you and your glory. That they would worship you. Man, I really believe that art affects our culture. And we need more positive things in our culture, Father. So I pray that you just bless and give dreams and visions to those that have the ability. I love you, Jesus, and in your name, amen.
Please stand for our closing song.
Jesus, hope of the nations, Jesus, comfort for all who mourn.